The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Humperdee-doo, it is the answer of the week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. On the other end of the, I don't know, what do we call it? The digital superhighway that is the internet, right?
Yeah, sure. The digital superhighway internet.
Yeah, the digital superhighway internet is my co-host, Joe Patrick. Say hi, Joe.
Heyo!
Every week, Joe, he's the one responsible for posting the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can go there. It's thn.forums.boards.net, right?
thnforums.boards.net.
thnforums.boards.net. You can answer the question there. Or, if you've got the stones, you can email us at twoheadednerd@gmail.com with your MP3 answer. Or, you can call us at 402-819-4894. How did I forget that? My God. I just went for a 3-mile run. I'm exhausted. Ugh. And I'm having a beer because it sounded really good. I don't know. You guys drink beer after you run? I don't know. Regardless, you have to keep your answers under 2 minutes or you will be cut off by the Ziggurat AI. He's a replication of Alec Baldwin and he's a saucy guy, so he won't put up with your shit. You understand? But before we get started here with your calls and your MP3s, Joey, what do we ask these nerds?
This week's question came from Anthony, who wanted to know, in light of the release of Daredevil Season 2 on Netflix, what is your favorite comic book to television adaptation?
Cool. There's plenty of them. Start with D. Murray. He's our first caller. Look at D. Plugging music in. Here, let's see what he's got. Beating hearts, baby. These kids sound fancy. Listen to these guys. The beating of your heart, baby. The beating of your heart, baby. That's an attitude, boys.
How's it going, guys? D here. Answering your question of the week. Doing it.
Oh, I thought I was going to go doing
and
it well.
My answer for you has to be, this may take a while. My answer for you has to be the entire
DCAU.
And it counts. I know you guys are probably saying like, that doesn't count. That doesn't count, D. Come on. You got to pick one. Everyone picks one. You got to pick one, too. It counts because it is one cohesive universe. It's all Superman animated series, Batman animated series, Justice League Unlimited, the Zeta Project, Batman Beyond, Static Shock, and the Crypto cartoon show. It's all those cartoons combined together to make one cohesive universe. And now, don't forget about the movies, Mask of Phantasm, the Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker. You have the Sub-Zero movie. You have all those different stories all combined into one awesome universe. So that's my answer. The entire DCAU. Bruce Timm, you are the coolest son of a bitch ever. Hands down, bar none. Take it easy, guys. Until next time.
The entirety of the DCAU animated universe. I don't know, for some reason, when I thought of this question, I did not think of cartoons. I went straight to like live action shows. I don't know why. Cartoons totally count.
That's the first thing I thought of was cartoons.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I didn't. But he is right. Bruce Timm is a total badass. Met him at a con a couple times, and he was always totally sweet. But he was really weird about drawing sketches. Really weird about it. I don't know why. And it's like,
yeah,
why? You're awesome at what you do. And he's like, I just don't do sketches well. I was like, I don't understand what that means. And I will say, he drew me a Batgirl. Wasn't very good.
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what the deal is.
I'm not on my mic. I'm a full 12 inches away from my mic.
Yeah, all right. You're pretty loud. I don't know what the deal is. Thank you, D, for your call. I'll count it. It's kind of a cheat, but I'm going to count it. It's fine.
The Zeta Project. I have never heard of the Zeta Project, but it is a spinoff of Batman Beyond.
Really? See, I was trying
starring
to...
a character named Zeta from Batman Beyond.
I was trying to play cool, like I knew, and just like, oh, yeah, but because I was hoping you would know and cover it up, but I'd never heard of it either.
Zeta is a robot assassin that works for the NSA, but he has like a vision moment where he develops a conscience and he rebels.
Okay.
Crazy.
All right. I've never heard of it. What was that on?
Kids WB, as all the other shows.
Okay.
This was January 2001 it first aired.
So this would have been right after the first Batman Beyond?
And it had two damn seasons.
Really?
What the heck?
Man, never heard of it. I'll have to YouTube that. Thank you for your call, D. Let's move to Black Scorpion the 3.
Let's see here. Anthony from Brooklyn wants to know best comics in TV. A lot to choose from. What have we got here?
Gonna go through the whole history.
Now that is a great theme. This was fun, but was it the best? I mean, let's be serious. Egghead, Lord Fogg. Ah, fun show, but that ain't it. Let's see, what else do we have?
Awesome forces at the utterance of a single word.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Shazam was not very good.
Thing ring, do your
thing. No. Yeah, there we go. I remember this one. Thinking back, I think of this as one of those Scooby-Doo sorts of cartoons. I watched it because it was on. Even as a kid, I knew it wasn't good, but it was comics, so I took what I could get. There's gotta be something better than this, right? Oh, yes. Yes, this is it. This is exactly what I want. Whoever wrote this, they clearly loved the comics, but they weren't fixated on the continuity or the events or trying to make things look real. I never thought of Mr. Freeze as a moving character until this cartoon. Mad Hatter, too. Yeah, this is the one. This is the one. Sorry, nerds. I mean, I think a lot of the live-action superhero stuff lately is nice, but let's not kid ourselves. They're reminding us of the things we love in comics, but this... Well, this is a comic, and I love it.
No question, Batman the Animated Series, like, far and away the most faithful Batman TV experiment we've ever seen.
Yeah.
No question.
Yes.
Gotham can bite my butt, as far as I'm concerned. That show sucks.
Is it me, or did Black Scorpion sound a little under the weather?
No, he sounded sedate, man. He sounded
a little subdued,
chill,
right?
Like, maybe he was high. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. Like, you know.
Maybe his kid was asleep and he was trying to play it cool.
Or maybe he's just a stony bro. I don't know. I mean, regardless. Speaking of stony bros.
G'day, Joe. G'day, Matt. Jimmy Randall calling in from Down Under with the answer to the question of the week. Apologies for the crappy sound quality. I'm recording this on my phone
out the back at work, man.
So I'll be nice and quick and sweet. Favorite TV show based on comics? Look, I want to say The Flash because A, it rules, and B, it's the only comic related anything that my wife can endure. So we've got our little ritual every week. We'll sit down, we'll get our noodles, and we'll watch The Flash. It's a good time. But my actual true answer is without a doubt 100% Teen Titans Go. It is absolutely phenomenal. One of the funniest things on TV. I love how they're not constrained by any sorts of continuity. They can just do whatever they want episode by episode. And I love the deep cuts that they get with the some of the DC characters. Like, they had Brother Blood on it the other day. I'm like, what the hell? So it's just great. If you haven't seen it before, check it out. Do yourself a favor. And that's it, guys. That's my answer. Teen Titans Go. Thank you very much. Take it easy.
Short and sweet. I like it. Brother Blood showed up.
Teen Titans Go is wonderful.
Brother Blood is kind of a rather adult themed character.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they did something with him. If you haven't watched Teen Titans Go, it's so surreal and joyful.
It is ridiculous and fun.
It doesn't take itself seriously.
Yeah, this is okay. Now we're talking about the latest incarnation, right?
Yeah, not the one before that was a little bit more
Japanese
superhero,
like manga sort of inspired.
This is the one that's like even further anime manga inspired, where they're like they get super deformed and You know, like the sweat beads and the throbbing temples and that sort of stuff.
I think I'm allergic to that. I'll be honest.
No. It's really great. It's very, very, very fun.
All right. No, I've watched some of it and it is fun. Thank you, James, for calling us from down under.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for
this. It's back to back Aussies.
Is it really? We got back to back. Oh, we did. That's so cool. Cleon Soars, the Thunder from Down Under. Wow. It's like they knew. Maybe they live together. Maybe they're roommates.
Maybe they are roommates. Yeah.
We don't know. I'm just going to pretend that everybody knows each other in Australia. And he was like, hey, Cleon, I'm about to call the THN boys, eh? And he's like, oh, right. I'll call them right after.
They're like the bushwhackers.
Pip, pip. Well, then they're then they're licking each other's heads and stuff.
G'day, THN. It's the Thunder from Down Under emailing in for the question of the week. My favorite TV adaptation is actually an animated series, and I'm not sure whether you guys restricted it to live action or not, but screw it. I'm going to go for it anyways. It's Spectacular Spider-Man, an animated series that ran for two seasons during 2008-2009. It drew a healthy mix from the original Lee and Ditko Spider-Man stories, as well as stuff that Bendis had done with Ultimate Spider-Man. It adapted all the classic Spidey villains from Kraven to Dr. Octopus, to some amazing story arcs with Green Goblin and Venom. It did the high school romance stuff so well, and as well as what I think to be the best adaptation of Peter Parker or Spider-Man to be done in any medium, really. Even comparing it to what's happening in ASM right now, that series feels more like the core of what Spider-Man is as opposed to what's happening in the comics right now. I reckon if you like Spider-Man or even just like good animation and a good show, check it out. It's basically a perfect series, and unfortunately it had its legs cut way too short, despite the amazing plans that the creators had for the show. Very much like a Young Justice situation happening there. But anyways, hope you guys dig my answer, and I'm super excited to hear what the other listeners will submit. Cheers.
Back-to-back Aussies. That's so cool. Okay, Spectacular Spider-Man, as I recall, was sort of loosely adapting Ultimate Spider-Man, right?
Well, no, he said it. They drew from lots of different inspirations.
Okay.
You might be thinking of, there was the MTV Spider-Man.
No, this is the one. However, it also tends to utilize material from all eras of the comics run and other sources, such as the film series, and weighed heavily on Ultimate Spider-Man comics. This is according to the Spectacular Spider-Man TV series wiki. From 2008-2009. So there you go. I think it was kind of all over the place.
I mean, every Spider-Man show has been all over the place in terms of the continuity it draws from.
I suppose that's true. I didn't
really, so has every superhero show.
I didn't really watch
this. They're
never
100% faithful to one specific thing.
That's true. I didn't really watch this.
I didn't either. In fact, I've never met anyone that has said that this is their favorite Spider-Man.
Okay.
Cartoon.
Well, it was huge in Australia. So
yeah, I mean, I have nothing against it. I never saw it.
No, I know. I didn't really either. I'm not even sure what channel it was on. Let's see. It was on Cartoon Network, CW, and Disney XD.
If I recall correctly, the Spectacular Spider-Man was the show that got the internet riled up because they turned Liz Allen into a Latina.
Well, Allen is a very Latina name, so. Oh, all right. Let's go to Randy Andrews. Randy watches TV. He's a nerd. He's got something good.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked about what our favorite comic-related TV show is right now. Well, guys, I'd have to go with The Flash. From the very first episode to the end of the season one, it's been a thrill ride and so much fun. Getting the characters right and having a ball with the rogues, especially when Grodd shows up. It's just plain awesome. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is from the Flash TV show called Flash in the Night. See you in a week. Bye for now.
Nice timing, Randrew. That was cool. All right, so I give up. I have to watch The Flash, don't I?
Don't do us any favors. You know. If that's the way you want to be that way.
I was so turned off by Arrow, and I watched the first episode of The Flash and went, eh, it's fine, I guess, whatever. But I don't know. Maybe I didn't give it a fair enough chance, and I'm sick of people telling me how great it is. So at some point, I will watch the freaking Flash. Randy, it's not a bad answer, okay? It's a good answer. It's just, Joe loves it, but Joe loves everything, so.
That's not true.
Let's go back to Damon Chan. I love this guy.
Hi guys, Damon from Brooklyn, calling in for the question of the week.
Ooh.
This week you asked us what was our favorite comic book adaptations.
Him and Anthony might have to go
ahead. And I had to think about this. Right now we have a lot of superhero properties on TV, which I follow to some degree for almost all of them. Arrow and Flash, I watch regularly. I love it. Although Arrow is kind of, not great this season. Supergirl is okay. Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not bad. And Gotham is, let me just leave that alone. But I have to go back to my childhood to give you my answer. And this is young Damon watching a lot of Saturday morning cartoons. There was X-Men the animated series, Spider-Man the animated series. Those were great shows for his time. Marvel had a good foothold in that market back then. But all-time greatest comic book property on TV, Batman the animated series. To me, it even as a kid, I realized that this is the Batman on TV. This is how he should be portrayed, from his supporting cast, Robin, Alfred, to the way the villains were portrayed. They were all perfect. And the voice work was amazing. Kevin Conroy as Batman and Mark Hamill as the Joker. Still my favorite adaptations of those characters. And to this day, I will read like a Batman comic and picture Batman speaking as Kevin Conroy and the Joker as Mark Hamill. And I love also when I'm in the mood, I will watch Batman the animated series. Occasionally a couple of episodes on Amazon, and to this day it still holds up. The storyline is still just as great, and the writing is amazing. But yeah, that's my favorite, Batman the animated series. Thanks guys, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
He's not wrong, it still totally holds up today,
for sure.
And I don't think they're on Netflix anymore. They were on the complete Batman animated
series. No, they weren't on Netflix. They're on Amazon Prime.
Oh, that was it. That's where I was watching them. That's right. Every once in a while when I can't sleep, I'll watch some. Just like randomly pick one. They're still so great.
Yes, they are.
Damon, always good to hear from you, brother. You're absolutely right. Thank you for your call. Let's go to the man who gave us a question. Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn, eat it.
Anthony, currently from Brooklyn, you eat it.
Sup nerds, Anthony currently from Brooklyn here, and whenever I see comics adapted to any other media, ultimately I want to see respect for the source material, and if you can improve on the source material, huzzah! And also understand, I am an old person, and I have seen a ton of comic adaptations. So, my favorite, bar none, Young Justice. This show, of course, was entirely respectful to the source material. And also, it came out at a time, like it came out in 2012, so not terribly long after the New 52. So if you weren't digging on the New 52, this was a great place to be. And it improved on some of the source material as well, like Aqualad. This show made Aqualad a genuine badass, and he was even leading the team. But now, because of this show, my favorite iteration of Superboy is Pissed Off Superboy.
Yeah.
Pissed Off Superboy is friggin' priceless. This show, I just love it. It was action-packed and genuinely funny. Every time Pissed Off Superboy would say, "I hate monkeys," I would crack up. And that right there is the final piece of the puzzle. That "I hate monkeys" thing is a recurring joke. This show appreciated its viewers. It had recurring jokes. It had a continuity, a tight continuity. Like, you could go in and view a single episode and go, "Hey, that was fun." Or you could watch the whole thing and be treated to this utterly gratifying overarching storyline in both seasons. It's really wonderful. And that's why it's my favorite. Because just like comics reward longtime readers, this show rewarded longtime viewers. Now, to wrap up, there's a rumor going around that, not that there will be a season 3, but this show is currently streaming on Netflix, and there is some rumor that, you know, if enough interest is shown in this show, that there could potentially be a season 3. So, start streaming it. It's awesome. Bye.
Young Justice was totally awesome. It really was. And you know why?
It's really wonderful.
You know who wrote a bunch of Young Justice?
Who?
Peter David worked on Young Justice, the TV show. That's one of the reasons it was so damn good. Man, that show was awesome.
And are you sure?
I'm looking at it right now on Wikipedia. Peter David, Tom Pugsley, John Weissman, Nicole Dubick, Andrew Robinson, Kevin Hopps, and Greg Weissman.
Oh, those are the guys.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to admit something here. I never have cared for any of those characters, including Superboy. They've just never done anything for me. I was fine with them in the periphery, but I never felt the need to read Superboy and or like read about Aqualad or whatever. And any of those. They just never did for me. But Young Justice totally fleshed them out, made them completely interesting and awesome. Ugh, man, it was so good. And Robin, Dick Grayson on that show was awesome.
Peter David wrote 4 out of 46 episodes.
That's fine.
Not a bunch.
They're definitely the best ones. Kid Flash was great in it. But yeah, that's Superboy. Connor Kent. That was the coolest Superboy I've ever seen. It was so well done.
I will say something about that version of Superboy. When you are binge watching that show, his attitude gets really old really fast. But I mean, if you're spacing it out a week at a time or, you know, however long the gaps were in between, then I'm sure it's fine. But like, you watch 10 of those in a row, and by the fifth or sixth time, he bites his teammate's heads off for no good goddamn reason.
He was kind of a shit. I'll give you that.
It's a little much. But yeah, that show was all over DC lore. Fourth World.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They did a 5-year time jump in the second season where the Earth was being invaded.
Oh, yeah. That was Invasion was the whole second season.
They did White Martians.
Yeah, man.
It's so Project Cadmus, all sorts of Kirby.
Yeah, man. It was great.
I love that show. And yeah, there is a lot of momentum online right now. Greg Weisman, the guy who developed the show for television, is saying like Netflix is actively looking at the numbers of people streaming Young Justice.
That would be so cool. And what a great place to do something like that. Netflix, what a perfect place to do something like that.
Yeah.
Sign a deal with Warner Brothers. Then you have deals with Marvel and Warner Brothers Animated. Man, that would be cool.
I would love it. I would love it if they did.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Ant. Thanks for your question. We're having fun with it. Skylar Walker is going to take it from here.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and state this for the record. Calling people named Anthony Ant for short is not and should not be a thing.
Too bad. Calling Fiona Staples Fifi Stapes is not and should not be a thing, but you do that.
Except I know that that's not really her nickname. Like, that's a difference.
Ant's just sweet. I like it. Somebody calls him Ant. We're buddies.
No, Ant is a terrible comedian.
Anthony? What?
You don't remember Ant, the comedian?
No.
He was on Last Comic Standing.
No, I didn't watch that show.
Hold on.
I don't think anybody watched that show. Anthony from Brooklyn. Am I allowed to call you Ant? Let me know. Next time you call in, let me know.
Stand firm, Anthony. It's okay to choose a favorite in this fight, and I know that I'm your favorite.
Okay, we got to get this show moving, so you look that up, and we're going to play Skylar Walker's call.
Hey, Joe and Matt, this is Skylar Walker calling you with my answer to the question of the week, and with me is Taylor, my girlfriend that works at the comic book shop. She wanted to join in after I showed her that I had mentioned her on the previous answer.
Oh, right. Oh,
I hope she breaks up with them.
Just to be explicit, I'm not really a manly man. There's just three of us in the relationship, and I'm probably the least manly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, but he's adorable.
Yay.
Oh.
So my answer is The Flash. I think The Flash is absolutely phenomenal. I think it has all the flaws of every CW show that, you know, going way back to the Smallville tropes. It just, the acting's bad, the effects are bad, whatever. But I think the spirit of it is so pure. And Ebard Thawne was the most terrifying villain I've ever seen in a superhero adaptation. So who's scary? Oh, well, leads into your answer, Taylor.
Fucking Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Terrifying experience of reliving hours of therapy via Netflix and a bunch of Oreos. If you've read Alias, then you know how truly terrifying the Purple Man is, and just, it just really makes me uncomfortable in the best of ways. And also you get angry at it. It's an imperfect adaptation, but also an imperfect story. So it kind of matches. I don't know. We're a little drunk right now. And
well, St. Patrick's Day. Anyway,
Daredevil.
We're approaching the 2-minute mark, which is their cutoff.
We
so
should stop. We shouldn't do this.
Love you guys.
Bye.
I was going to say Taylor sounds like a Stony Bro too. I was kind of hoping she'd be like, tell everybody I f*** you, huh? Well, you're dumped. Like, oh, that's weird. Like, we just listened to those two break up.
Got real quick.
Yeah, that was great. Okay, so they both get an answer. I'm giving Skylar says The Flash and Taylor says Jessica Jones. There we go. Welcome aboard, Taylor. Speaking of ladies on this show, let's go to Elise Wisdom. Two girls, one show? What, are you kidding me?
Hey, listen, nerds. It's your black-hearted mistress, Elise Wisdom, here to bring some much-needed sex appeal to this sausage party of yours.
Hot damn!
And what could be sexier than a lady nerd talking about Batman cartoons? Nothing, that's what. This question came at the perfect time, because just this week it was announced that Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy are going to provide their voices for the animated movie The Killing Joke. I can't tell you how pumped I am for this. I loved The Killing Joke. I read it in about 2009, and as I was reading it, the voice I had in my head for Batman was Conroy, and the Joker's voice was Hamill's. I can't imagine The Killing Joke being told in another medium any more perfect than this. This is all the proof I need to declare my answer for best TV adaptation as Batman the Animated Series. It was perfect. So perfect, in fact, that the same formula is being applied to a new Batman story years later. It just goes to show, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Till next time, nerds, wisdom out.
I did not know about this Killing Joke thing.
Yeah, this just came out.
Okay, that is news to me. I had no idea.
I mean, it's old news that they're making an adaptation of The Killing Joke.
Yeah, I think I heard that. I didn't know that Hamill and what's his
name? But yeah, it was just announced recently that they're coming back to do the voices. I hate to break it to you, Elise, but your quote-unquote much-needed sex appeal came in after Skylar and Taylor called to talk about their polyamorous relationship.
Yeah, I kind of tried to just dance around that because I'm just not really sure what's going on. I mean, I'm fine with it. Whatever. Look, do whatever you want.
Hey,
you know,
don't take your old man sensibilities back to the 50s.
Hey,
weirdo.
Love is love. I get it. Whatever, you know. But, you know, just like I don't want to get into, you know, love line here. You know, that's all.
I'm just saying in terms of whatever Elise was trying to do, she called a little late.
All right, caller, go ahead. You're into butt plugs. What are you going? Go ahead. Thank you, Elise. Another vote for Batman, the animated series. Always good to hear from you, darling. Let's move to our first Google voice call.
Hey guys, just one word to say about the best TV show adapted from a comic book. That word is spoon. Thanks, bye.
Okay, so
Jason Sachs.
That was Jason Sachs. We haven't heard from him for a while, and
I miss him.
Loves The Tick, and I loved The Tick too.
New theory. Jason Sachs is the guy that called last time just to say, hey, honey, I'm going to the comic shop.
No, but that wasn't Seattle.
You don't know. You don't remember that.
Yeah, it said Chicago. I still don't know who that guy was. He has not revealed himself to us. Sexier, love The Tick. The Tick was an awesome show. For those of you who didn't pick up on it, The Tick had a problem coming up with like a titular line that he would scream, you know, or something. And it ended up being spoon because it was the only one that wasn't taken.
Wonderful.
For a while there, he tried evildoers, smell my justice.
He tosses out a lot of things, but spoon is his battle cry.
Spoon is his main battle cry. Thank you, Sexier. Good to hear from you. Glad you're still alive, buddy. We miss you.
Dude is busy. He's got a lot going on. He's writing books left and right. He's appearing in journals and websites and going to conventions.
Okay. Here is my proof that the guy that called in with the, hey, honey, I'm just going to the comic shop, was not Jason Sexier. He called again. Here it is. Check this out.
Oh, you're right.
Hey, honey, it's me. Just sitting down to watch one of my favorite shows on TV. Just happens to be based on a comic. I know there's other critically better shows out there, but this is definitely the one I have the most fun watching. Got breakneck action, electric characterizations, and some really shocking plot twists. I'm, of course, getting ready to watch The Flash on the CW. I gotta run. Talk to you later.
I love this guy. I absolutely love this guy.
I don't think I want to know who he is.
I don't either. I'm nicknaming him Mystery Husband.
Mystery Husband. You nickname. And of course, now that I hear his voice again, I would have had this been last week, I would have known right away it wasn't Jason Sachs.
Totally
I
different.
I didn't remember what his voice sounded like.
Yeah, it's totally different.
I know Jason Sachs when I hear him.
I love the continuity here. Mystery Husband keeps calling us. Maybe he is trying to call his wife. Maybe it's pure happenstance, you know? Like, he just got confused, absolutely dialed, and accidentally dialed the ziggurat number, you know, because it was on his brain or whatever. He's trying to call his wife, let her know everything's cool. Oh, I love this.
Pretty great. I'm into it.
So good. Oh, new characters. I love it.
Thunder from Down Under, Mystery Husband.
Mystery Husband. What a great nickname. Now, I just want to lay this out. Don't tell us who you are. Just be our mystery husband. You
know? I mean, maybe someday.
No. I don't want to know. I just want to know that I have a husband out there that cares about me and calls to let me know what's going on, where he is, how things are going, you know? It's kind of nice. It's a good feeling. Let me just check my watch real quick here. We got to get going a little bit. Oh, it's Toots time.
Oh, yes. Listen!
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for that intro to Toots Time, Conan. This is a pretty good question. It was kind of tough for me to answer, though, because there's really only one answer, right? Like, if people don't say the animated Batman, there's really no other answer. That show changed everything. So I'm totally going to cheat. You can cut me off if you want, because here's my follow-up answer since... whatever. The Spider-Woman animated comic that was put on the web, and then it was put onto Netflix.
The motion comic?
I even have the small hardcover collection of the comic book by Bendis and Maleev. Came with a DVD. That was way cool, man. And I got to tell you, I was super excited for it. I thought they did a great job. It's too bad that the motion comics couldn't all be that good. Like the ones they did for Josh Whedon's X-Men and stuff like that.
Terrible.
They're kind of tough to watch. But that Spider-Woman one was really cool because they did it specifically for that format and then translated it into comic book panels for the printed book. And they had to change some of the things to fit the format. And all the other motion comic books that came afterward were just taken from the book and then animated. And I think it just doesn't work as well. So that's my decent enough answer, I guess, right? Spider-Woman motion comic?
Decent enough.
Yeah.
Why not?
Joe Patrick, where do you come down on motion comics?
Well, in general, I'm not a fan. I mean, they're fine. They exist, and I'm not mad that they exist. I just don't care.
I hate them.
I don't care about them.
I don't hate them. I just don't need to watch them. They don't do
anything. There's no reason to hate them. They can exist if they want to. I don't care.
They just do nothing for me. You know, I just...
Yeah, they don't really do anything for me.
I don't get it. I don't care about it. It takes me back to, like, those 60s Marvel comics... where they were just like moving still pictures around, you know?
Yeah, the cartoons, the Filmation cartoons.
Like, really? We reverted to that?
Here's a fun fact about the Spider-Woman motion comic. That project broke Alex Maleev. Because, like Toot said, unlike every other motion comic that they did before and after, they actually did the artwork to make the motion comic.
Oh, man.
They didn't adapt. They didn't take the artwork from the comic and animate it. He poured months and months and months and months of work into making frames for the motion comic specifically.
The good news
is why by the time the book came out, he was like, this, I quit.
But good news.
And the run was only 9 issues or whatever.
He's a millionaire now, so it paid off. Right?
Yeah, no.
Never has to work again.
But he's right to point out that it's such a much higher quality than all the other ones. And that's because the artist did so much work that he had to quit that job.
It was definitely way cooler than the other ones. I will say that. It definitely was. Alex Maleev made his money the old-fashioned way on Motion Comics.
Dick.
Whoa, dude.
I just saw an old Aquish.
Jesus.
Where Todd the Squirrel pulls up in his tiny van. And on the back, there's a bumper sticker on the back that says, "Suckin' Dick bought this van." Akewood. Akewood.com. You know he's still doing it.
He returned to it like a year and a half ago.
Akewood Renaissance.
Yeah, he returned to it. I love that it's back. We'll talk about that later. Here's somebody we haven't heard from for a while. The GOAT. The greatest of all time. Patrick Gauthier.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Patrick from Canada here. My favorite comics to TV adaptation is the 1960s Spider-Man cartoon. I was 6 years old in the mid-1980s and discovered this show by accident one afternoon. And it really introduced me to Spider-Man, his villains, and various supporting cast members, and started me down the path to comics fandom. I also love this show, I think, because when I was a kid, it was hard for me to access. Growing up where I lived, it was on either really early in the morning, like 5:30, 6 a.m., or it was on lunchtime, 12:31, 1:30. So unless I committed to getting up really early, or it was a snow day, or I was homesick from school, it was really difficult for me to watch the show. So every time that it came on, it was a special event, and we got really excited to be able to see this show. Of course, looking back on it now, it's not the most objectively good show, you could say. But again, it kind of ignite my love for comics and for Spider-Man in particular. So there we have it. 1960s Spider-Man. Thanks a lot and talk to you soon, eh?
Nice. Even threw a little A in there. God, these Canadians are so sweet. Oh, they tickle me pink.
He's doing that just for us.
Probably. I don't care. It's working. Nicely done. From the GOAT, the 60s Spider-Man. They are still fun. Remember we used to play him in the comic shop every once in a while?
Yeah.
Just play him on the TV. They're always a good time. Nate Aguilar, this guy, he's become a regular, and his answers are always solid. I like it, these old guys calling in. They're all about my age, I believe. The GOAT was obviously my age, too, if he was 6 years old in the 80s. I was right there.
Hello, nerds. Nate here calling with my answer for the question of the week. My pick has probably been mentioned already, but I'm going to go with Batman the Animated Series. I never really followed the comics much, so I don't know how well the show stacked up story-wise, but I really enjoyed the show. I liked the darker tone to the series, and the bad guys seemed more believable than other cartoons of the time. Like, you actually felt like the hero was in danger of losing to these guys. I loved Mark Hamill's voicing of the Joker, but by far, my favorite character in the show was Clayface, which, as I found out while researching my answer, was actually voiced by Ron Perlman, so yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyway, that's my answer. Have a great week, everyone!
Did not know that Ron Perlman was Clayface.
Me neither.
That's, we just learned something.
Look at I love that. It.
Dogs don't come from eggs. We learned something today. Nate Aguilar. I like that there's been multiple answers for Batman the Animated Series, but every time somebody answers that, we learn something new about Batman the Animated Series. That's great.
Thanks for keeping it fresh, dorks.
The Orca? I didn't think he had a TV. I didn't know the TV got all the way up to Maine. That's crazy. I just figured like he was just living in the set of The Revenant up there. Let's see what's going on.
Okay, so when the Orca was growing up, we didn't have the TV shows. We didn't have even indoor plumbing up in a log cabin up in the northern woods of Maine, even north of where I am now. Anyhow, it wasn't until I got into a TV show with I guess it would have been Anka. Anka was a Scandinavian broad I hooked up with for some time. She was beautiful. She had no vocal cords, which made for an odd relationship. In a way, it was nice. She never talked back, never gave me any guff. Anyway, Anka had a great little boy. I shouldn't call him little. He was about 300 pounds when he was in the 10th grade. But when he was younger, Klaus was his name. Klaus and I, this is back in the 60s, got into watching the Batman with Adam West and Bit Wood, all the punching and powing and all that. So that was great. Meredith Burgess was a Penguin. Anyway, I fondly remember those days and my time with Klaus, that little shit. He wasn't one of mine, But I loved him just the same. Anyway, what we'd do is we'd watch Batman, and then we'd go out into the woods. I was still living in a cabin that my parents bequeathed to me. Anka and Klaus had moved in with me. Klaus wanted me to set up a stage. I don't know why. He was a little slow. Not mentally handicapped or whatnot. More just slow.
Whoa,
because
where is this going?
Anka didn't have any vocal cords. So growing up, that's got to make for a strange growing up. So he was very slow on the uptake. But he had me string up a curtain. I don't know why you need a curtain for this. And then he'd build these snowmen. And then he'd be Batman. And he'd kick the crap out of these snowmen. It was an awful fun to watch. And just, I guess, because of that, that's my favorite TV show. Klaus and I had a lot of fun watching the Batman. Kiss, kiss, nerds.
That's sweet.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought that was going to go to a really weird place for a second there.
I mean, it was weird. Don't get me wrong.
No, it was weird, but it ended up very sweet. That was good.
Yeah. Klaus.
And the first vote for the 60s Batman.
Interesting. I thought we'd have had more, but.
Well, you know, he is our oldest listener, so. Unless the old timer checks in. We'll see.
Well, but he's way older than the old timer.
Yeah. I mean, our old timer, what is he, like late 50s, early 60s? And the Orca's like 94 or something like that, or 104 or something.
I don't think Greg Litchfield's in his 60s. That's crazy.
I don't know. I thought he told us that. Regardless. Greg, if you're not, I apologize. You're still full of vim and vigor, just like Jeff Hitt.
Hey, guys. It's Jeff Hitt, and I'm calling with my favorite television adaptation of a comic book property. And there's been some really great cartoon adaptations of different comic characters or teams. But my bar none favorite ran for two seasons, and it was on, I believe, Cartoon Network. It was the Young Justice series.
Look at that.
I loved the mashing of the Teen Titans and the Young Justice book and all the heroes of the sidekicks. DC, in some ways, their sidekicks are better than their main characters. And so it only ran for two seasons, but they were both great. You could watch any issue episode pretty much standalone. But if you watch the whole season, it just built. That final episode of season two, I won't spoil it, but it legitimately made me cry. Loved it. And there's rumors that they might be able to do a third season for Netflix. So, you know, fingers crossed. And I believe season two just now is out on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, go. It's fantastic. The best representation of DC out currently. So much better than the New 52. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Jeff Hitt, big guy with a big heart. I'll tell you what. Everybody, go stream Young Justice. He's right.
Do it.
Do it. We will get more if you all watch it. And it's great. It's so good. Thank you so much, Jeff. Good answer. Let's go to Jim Kettnerd. See what song he's playing for us today. Whoa. Picture him with a headband on, like doing like weird, like pelvic
thrust. Matt Kettnerd here. Hey guys, sorry for another late submission this week. But you know what? I gotta say, for this question in terms of the best comic book adaptation to the small screen, I'll be shocked if my answer isn't the same as most of the people who've already called in and had their time on the air. Batman the Animated Series is hands down the best comic book to TV adaptation, just in terms of adapting so many of the core qualities of a whole cast of comic book characters to the small screen. It feels the most authentic, the most, more than so many of the films that we are so excited about. It felt like taking the best of a whole corner of the DC universe and putting it on TV. It was stylish, it was effective, it was appropriate for kids, teens, and adults. I was, I think, a freshman in high school when it started, and it was great. It was just the way you want, like, the best comics. It's great for all ages. It was serious when it wanted to be, it could be funny, and it had that versatile Batman that really, it was the Batman we deserve, not the pretty, grim-faced, growly robot voice that we are saddled with these days. So yeah, I would be thrilled if Warner Brothers started looking to the animated series days as an inspiration to a way to take the films rather than, you know, 15 pages from The Dark Knight Returns. Anyways, guys, that's it for me this week. If you want to check out more from me, check out my podcast Galacticus and Adult Crash on iTunes and my comics and illustrations at Kettner.com. Thanks.
Jim, do not call us while you're windsurfing. That is dangerous, okay? You need to focus, all right?
He did send his apologies. He was recording on the fly.
I could tell.
But at least he went in and plugged some music in.
That's cool. Yeah, it did sound like
the Prince song from the museum scene in Batman.
Yes. I pictured him on a surfboard with, like, you know, the sail, and he's like holding on to it and talking to us while he's like navigating through the windy waters. It was cool. Our final caller, Shonix. How appropriate. What a slacker. Waits to get it in last. I love this guy.
Hello, Two-Headed Nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. Now, I sent an email in earlier, and I think I didn't sell it enough. I didn't sell it hard enough. There's a lot of good comic book television shows out there right now. There's a lot. Some are good, some are great, some are really bad. Arrow. But I have to say, Daredevil from Netflix wins. I think it's the perfect format. And I think Foggy and Matt and Karen are so awesome together on the show. Their chemistry is great. Their dialogue, the dialogue for the show is great. I think it doesn't ever fail. It's just fast paced. It's got the law in there a little bit too. The fighting choreography is fantastic. From like this first season, there's that hallway scene where he's saving that kid, rescuing that kid or saving him, was just amazing. And from season two, there's from the roof down the stairwell fight that is just amazing. And the things that I loved about the first season, which I haven't really seen in the second because I'm not too far in, but like at night there's a bunch of yellow, like the streetlights were casting yellow in the background, and I don't know if that was intentional, but you know, fear, yellow, all of us know, nerds know about that one. But yeah, I don't think I sold it enough. Hopefully you guys will take this second take. But Daredevil is fantastic. I just think, I don't know, it's awesome. So if you're not watching it, then get Netflix because it's totally worth it. All right, guys. Peace out.
I cannot believe that's the first Daredevil we had called.
It's so new.
I get it, but still, he's absolutely right. I mean, like, if you want to get down to it, the best adaptation that we've seen in, like, an adult format that doesn't have to worry about violence or, you know, I mean, whatever, it's got to be Daredevil. And what they're doing is just something different. It's something totally different. I mean, and I'm not saying that's my answer, but I totally agree with him. I think far and away, it's probably one of the best adaptations I've ever seen.
I love it. It's wonderful. I just finished season two the other day.
Sean, thank you very much for your call. Everybody's in the
notes. Sorry, Sean, you're out of luck. No do-overs.
Everybody's in the notes. Who's your favorite? I mean, I think I'm saying it's only fair to go with everyone that picked Batman the Animated Series because they all voted heavy. And it's hard not to say they're right. You know, I mean, Kettner.
Well, yeah, I'm going to single out specifically Black Scorpion the Third.
Okay.
Because he did the whole channel surfing gag.
That was cool. That was very cool.
Okay. The old ass cartoons.
I'll go with you. I'll go with you there.
And then when he got to Batman the Animated Series, he didn't even need to say what it was.
Yeah.
We heard the soul of the music and he said, yeah, this is what I need.
We said it for him and he's totally right.
Yeah. And that was, this is exactly right. That when you saw that show, and I'm just going to segue right into my answer because my answer is the same as all those other people's.
Okay.
When you saw that show for the first time and you saw those opening credits.
Oh yeah.
You knew.
Yeah.
Holy crap. This is something special.
Yeah, like they got this.
Right. Just from like the music and the tone of the animation style of the intro with the heavy blacks, like everything's in silhouette.
Totally. without a doubt. They just nailed it. Bruce Timm, man.
That so guy, from man. Second number one, Batman the Animated Series kicked the door in and said, we're doing things differently now.
Yeah.
You know, all credit to D and his answer. I do love the entire DC animated universe, the Bruce Timm universe.
Yes.
But none of that would have been possible without Batman.
Oh, without a doubt.
So therefore, it's got to be my favorite.
Without a doubt. I almost said Justice League Unlimited, but that is not my answer. Okay. I had to go back to when I was a little kid.
You mean you're not picking Batman?
No, I'm not. Going back to when I was a very young kid to a show that just changed my freaking life. Just flipped me on my head. And is it the best? Does it hold up real well? No, but it messed me up for the rest of my life. I'm going Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love that show.
I loved Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. It was mandatory Saturday morning viewing. And the music in it was so cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was so great. I'm like, they also backed it up with The Incredible Hulk. It was like the Marvel Hour. So you had the Spider-Man cartoon and then The Incredible Hulk cartoon. Oh, my God. They just freaked me out. And when they had the episode where we met the X-Men, I lost my mind.
That is the reason why until 1991 or two, I thought that Thunderbird turned into a bear.
Which is kind of cool, but not what Thunderbird does. Nope. Regardless, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I have to pick it because it changed my life. It freaked me out. I was reading comics back then, but like seeing them moving and stuff, that was the end. That was it.
Yeah. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, if I'm looking back and being honest about it, it is probably the genesis of my diehard fandom of the New Warriors.
Really?
Because of Firestar.
Really? See, it was the reason I got all screwed up on the X-Men back in the day.
And I never read X-Men as a kid. I didn't read X-Men until X-Men number one.
I was reading X-Men. I was reading Cap. I was reading some Thor, Fantastic Four and stuff. And then the X-Men showed up in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And I was aware of them, but I was just like, ho, I love that. And it was over. Man, screwed me up forever. Fun question.
Yes.
Everybody did great. That was awesome. I can't believe we didn't hear a Walking Dead. Nobody said The Walking Dead.
That's because that show's not very good.
It is very good. It's still very good.
Okay.
Walking Dead is still very good. Joe Patrick, what is our current question for these nerds?
Well, this week's question comes from the Goocher himself, Black Scorpion III. You may have heard us talking about him just a second ago.
He's still the only Goocher we have, right?
The only Goocher. He's the only person to achieve Goocher status.
The reigning Goocher. Okay.
Well, it's not like you pass it on, right? You're still the Goocher.
No, next time someone gets a Goocher, they replace you. You're the new Goocher. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
You can't hold on to that championship forever. That's not how it works. You're a former Goocher after that.
I don't know if that's incentive or not for other people to step up their game.
There you go.
Anyway, here's his question. Quote, despite sponsored content being a new concern in journalism, corporate tie-ins are not a new phenomenon in comics. I'm pretty sure that they've all been ridiculous and completely over the top. I love their absurdity while cringing at their quality. So what is your favorite corporate tie-in with a comic book?
God.
Now, I'm not going to give what I think is probably the most ubiquitous example, but I will give a very recent example when I reviewed on the show the DC KFC Colonel Sanders of Two Worlds comic.
I already have my answer, and my answer is awesome. I'm saying it right now.
I have an answer too, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to have the same answer, but I think it's a great question.
We look forward to hearing all of your answers very soon. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to get into contact with us. I'm sorry we skipped last week. Life gets in the way sometimes. We will have a show this weekend. I promise it's going to be fun. We're going to try some new stuff. We're going to try some live reactions to stuff. It's going to be cool. So until next time, true believers, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
The answer is The Tick, live-action Fox show with Patrick Warburton.
I can't believe none of you discerning nerd tastemakers answered this one correctly. See, Amadeus. Falco, he is a dead man. That's my favorite Batmanuel quote. If you'd like to try again next week to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.